At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey guys, welcome to the Quail, probably one of the most prestigious auto shows in the world. And as always, all right, not always, but sometimes I'm here with my man, Moto Man.
So good to have you finally back at Pebble.
After like 13 years, my first time since we drove the Tatra.
See, what everybody, you tell these people that you're like the normal guy, but really you're a fancy kind of a guy, and that's why you're here.
Yes, I'm more of a truck guy, you know that. But here we are at probably, how much... in terms of money and cars, is here, you think?
Oh, you kind of lose this count.
$500 million?
What's important about this whole thing is this, Scottsdale, and maybe one other auction a year sets the collector car market for the entire year. So think of this as like one big Bloomberg terminal that's a party in California.
Well, when this car came here, it was for sale. Yeah. This morning, it was for sale.
No, it wasn't even for sale. It was a demo. And then they were going to ship it to dealers, but some guy literally walked up, not making this up, with a credit card, went to that guy over there and said, here's my credit card, I'll take
here's
it.
Here's my,
$2.63 million.
Bought it.
Now, so, why is this $2.63 million?
Yeah, what is this?
Well, this is not, it's not a Valor. Most people think it's a Valor. This is a Valiant, not a Plymouth. So basically, it starts life, really, it was based on a Vantage. They ripped out the 8-cylinder engine. They shoehorn a 12-cylinder engine, then they ship it to Multimatic. Now, I thought it was a Canadian car. This is built in their facility in the UK. So all of the bodywork is carbon fiber. It has the Multimatic dampers, which, fun fact, a lot of your trucks have, your GM trucks have Multimatic dampers.
Yes, of course. And so do the Formula One cars.
And then the most important thing here, hopefully I don't get murdered for this, look at that. It's a manual transmission, but Roman, take a look at the linkage.
Oh, it's exposed and just beautiful. Look at that.
So that's like from the day of the Spyka. And that's why the car is so rare. Or one of the things that makes it so rare. Now, for those, your audience probably looks at the front, especially the unique front end, and they say to themselves, well, the Valor, they only made 110 of those and they brought a fraction to the US. That is the case. This one was made for their race driver, and he wanted more of a sport version. Excuse me, sorry, sir. I bumped into one of the Aston Martin guys. I'm not making a good impression. So apparently, one of the race drivers wanted a more sporting version of that. So this is tuned differently, and as such, they based the series of cars on a heritage Aston Martin. Hence, they're only making 38 of these. They brought seven or 12 into the U.S. This was the last one.
I think you said 12.
It's 12, okay. And they decided that they're going to demonstrate this car by shipping it around to dealers, but someone here wrote a check and said, no, you're not sending it to a dealer.
Well, you know why that is, Moto Man, because everything here at the Quail is about being one of one. And this is the only jet black one of one,
yes,
that they made. And so you could see why somebody would be like, hey, yeah, I don't want my neighbor to have a jet black.
And that kind of answers the question of why would you spend $2.6 million on a rebodied Vantage? It's because no one else can have it.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Can I show you something cool?
Yeah, this?
Yeah, you see the machine guns?
The Aston Martin, that's like 1/8 scale.
Yeah, look at the machine guns, dude.
You should get that for Tommy.
Yes, I think he is a little too old now for that. So let's talk about what's next here. We are in Ferrari land, of course.
So this is registering as a percent of production of Ferrari F50s. So Ferrari F50s, they were one of the line of like Enzo-type cars. When you think of LaFerrari's Enzos, it started really with the 288 GTOs. This car, they only made 349 of them. It had a 739 horsepower engine. And when they were new, and get this, Roman, we're talking like mid 80s. These cars, 475,000.
And how much are they now?
Well, that's where we find out. I would tell you, up until yesterday, they were worth about $3.5 million
each.
But these have been going up significantly in value over the past, I want to say, 5 years. They've had a run.
All right, so let's call it $4 million, right?
Well,
so 4, 8, 12, 16, 20, 24, 28, 32, 36, 40, 44.
And then over here.
48, 52, 56, 60. And I'm not done counting.
And then let's not forget that we have F40s, which are also worth about $3 million.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I'm more of an F40 guy. I just think it's a better looking car. I don't really love this air intake. It looks like it's a giant, you know, nose, and the nostrils. I like the F40 a little bit better. I think it's a little bit sexier.
You and I normally don't agree on these things, but this is the one area I do agree with you. So I won't give you crap for being old.
Yeah.
I prefer this one.
I do too.
But out of all of them, meaning these special edition, like, super duper Ferraris, I still am partial to 288 GTO.
Was this the last one that was built under Enzo
Ferrari?
This Ferraris?
Was the last one built under Enzo Ferrari.
Yeah, so this is, if you want the real Ferrari.
Yeah, now let's look at today. Let's go over here.
Oh, look at this. Yeah. Oh, my.
So Ferrari, I feel like, fortunately got this going on here. We got to make it through. So these are fascinating because Ferraris, they did these F40s, F50s every like couple of years, every like 10 years you had a car like this. Porsche kind of did the same thing. Now the pace is so fast because they have different derivations of these. Now they have like the F80 at the same time. So the question is, what would you do with your $4 million to buy a car?
You know
like
what
this?
I would do? I got to say, this is my generation. I would buy the Testarossa over there. I love Testarossa.
The 85 over there?
No, the one with the...
That's a TR.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
A 512 TR. Same
thing.
General thing, yeah.
So the Testarossa over there, is that a Testarossa?
That's a Testarossa, yeah.
So what's the difference between that... Well,
so they changed some bodywork. They changed the output of the car.
Yeah, you're right.
This is where the lights are
different.
They had to change a number of the safety equipment in this car. So if you look, unfortunately, this one has those crazy belts. Remember the belts?
Oh my God! Yeah. That's no. Forget that.
Because this was a small car manufacturer.
Right out.
Where this car was prior to that.
And it only has one mirror. Look, you're only getting one mirror, dude.
Yeah. My guess is this is a Euro market car. If you look at this one here. Let's see here, 86, wow.
Well, let me ask you this, my learned friend. And we were kind of talking about this before, and we'll get to these cars in a second, but why are Gallardos like the it car right now? Why are Gallardos so hot? You know, Doug has a Gallardo, Matt has a Gallardo. Why?
No, you mean a Countach, not a Gallardo.
I'm sorry, Countach.
A Gallardo is not the
no,
car.
No, the Countach.
A Gallardo, why I just want to make a point about a Gallardo.
Yeah.
So you know when you, depreciation?
Yeah.
That's where the Gallardo, at the bottom.
So this is the
they're only going to go up, Gallardos.
Yeah.
So why is everybody getting a Countach?
Yeah.
That's a really good question.
What is it about Countach?
Let's actually go this way so we can see some of the race cars lined up.
Sure.
Very good question, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Classic cars, or really any car, any art, anything, you never buy the actual item itself, you're buying a story. And when it comes to classic cars, it's all a function of what did people covet when they were young. And if you think about like 250 series Ferraris, those guys are dying off. Doesn't mean those cars are gonna go to zero, but the value of 250 Ferraris are going down. But Countaches, those people now have disposable income. They can afford a toy like that. That's why they're going up in value.
So are Diablos and Murcielagos going to follow, you think? Or are they already
following?
The
Diablos already follow.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the Mercies are, they've bottomed out. They're going up as
well.
Hey,
did you see the company here? It's just over here, actually, that reimagines the Diablo. Have you seen that company?
Yes, right over here. Esoterica.
Let's go look at that.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's a car in a box.
How? Yeah, these are actually my buddies from the airport.
Yeah?
Yeah, these are my airport buddies. They do this luxury rally club thing here. And you can see some of the guys. We'll make our way through here.
It's a Koenigsegg.
Yeah. Actually, this guy is Dutch, and he owns a car called the Donkervoort, and we're going to shoot his Donkervoort in about a month.
Yes, you will.
Yes, although he has bad taste in hats.
Well, it's very interesting. I know what the Donkervoort is.
This guy really has been. This guy was like employee number 5 at Nike.
No, 100%. Yeah.
Well, that's still pretty amazing. 1970. Do you still wear the shoes?
Of course.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah,
all right.
Tell the audience what you're doing.
What's my daily? I drive old cars every day.
Okay. Well,
he literally
I have new cars that I don't like. So I just drive old cars.
So what's your favorite?
Hard to say, but the one I'm actually rallied up here with was a 1952 Mercedes 220.
That is an old car.
It's super stiff. It goes through curves really well.
All right, I'll ask you this. I'll make it hard on you.
Yeah, what?
I guess you have a lot of cars.
Tubular, sorry.
But if you could only keep one car.
My always question says, Irv can say the same thing. That my always thing is, what's my favorite car? They go, no. When everything goes to shit, of course, all the expensive cars disappear because you have to pay for shit. So what would be the last car I'd keep is exactly that car.
There you go. Yeah.
52
yeah.
Mercedes.
Okay, thank you, Mr. 220. Nike.
Thank you. What'd you do at Nike?
I became the whole, all the products that went into line, I was the guy that made the final decision.
Wow. Do you know about manufacturing in China?
Yes, a lot.
He invented it.
Yeah, I didn't.
Not even exaggerating.
No, 21.
He's very humble.
You like this. At 21, I got put in charge of a 30,000-person factory. I just got out of college. I go, I have fucking no idea what I'm doing. My boss goes, neither do I. Good luck.
Well, it was nice meeting you.
Okay, buddy. I'll see you back at the hangar.
All right. Let's keep going here. Wow. That's Nike royalty there.
He is Nike royalty. He literally, for those of you that know running,
yeah.
This guy used to run with Steve Prefontaine.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, like that's kind of the royalty.
You still run, by the way?
I still run, but not as much. As you can imagine, I'm switched it up. I now do kickboxing.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, come on. Lancia 037. So here's another thing where the market's changing on these cars. So back in the day, I mean, these were crappy old rally cars. Nobody wanted them. So this is like pre-Audi Quattro. This was what they were going to be competitive against. It was the world stage in rally. The only problem was it was two-wheel drive.
Was this when WRC was truly deadly?
I'd say so.
Where people, yeah, you know, where people died?
So. And while this car is, it basically is built on the bones of a basic Lancia Beta Coupe. That's what this was, Legato design. But effectively, they put this crazy engine in the back. It just turned it into a monster of a car. But then, unfortunately, Audi came and ate their lunch with the all-wheel drive cars.
And they haven't done a lot since then, I gotta say. Oh, I'm sorry. Wow, that was a hot take.
That hurts.
Oh, but it's kind of true, isn't it?
That hurts. Can I point something out?
Can I say something before you get off Audi? I want to make a hot take.
Hot take.
I think that the R8
was
the high water for Audi. That's when you know, Audi was really hitting hard.
Do you realize that you're right?
I think
I hate to admit you're right.
Yeah, but it's true, isn't it?
And it's not just me telling you this. Yeah. The collector car market agrees with me.
Yeah.
Look at the values of a 10-cylinder Audi with a manual, R8 with a manual. Oh, before we go over here, look at this. This is special. 787B, the only Le Mans winning Mazda.
I actually saw this. I saw this in Japan. I saw this car in Japan in the Mazda Museum, or at least a version of this car.
They have two. They built two of them.
Yeah.
The one that floats around, mainly there's one like kind of a knockoff in the U.S. The one in Japan is the Le Mans winning car.
That's the one I saw.
And
I was there.
If you see it, there's always the guy. There is a guy that lives with it, that sleeps next to it.
Well,
it's
makes sense.
Never out of his sight.
Can I show you the LFG?
Oh, before we do that, let's go over here.
All right,
I wanted to point something out while we're here.
All right, let's go.
So this is the beauty of the Quail.
Yeah.
People think it's a snooty car show, but look, Ferrari, Corvette, and Datsuns, and then another 60s-era Ferrari.
Of course.
So look at what we've just shown you here. We've shown you $3.5 million, $4 million Ferraris, but then look, a Le Mans winning Mazda, and then Datsuns that slayed these guys back in the 70s.
And then look, the only Chinese car here, the Karma. Remember the Karma?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's and the PR guy from Ferrari is now in Karma. That's how
really?
Much life has changed.
All right, well, come on, let's go look at this guy, the LFG, which stands for Let's Effin' Go.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a two-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
So this is a cooperation between the Myers Banks and Tuthill. You know Tuthill, right?
Yes.
They reimagine Porsches in the UK.
Yep.
And Myers bought Myers Banks recently. And so this is a flat six putting out 300 horsepower. It's the ultimate dune buggy, really. That's what we're looking at here.
That is beyond the ultimate dune buggy.
It is probably beyond the ultimate dune buggy. You want to head over to Koenigsegg or you want to keep going somewhere
else? We can.
I don't know much about Koenigsegg, except that they're very quick.
So Koenigsegg is an interesting business. There are two companies here that have a very similar business model. Koenigsegg and Zinger.
Yeah, we'll look at Zinger a little bit later.
I don't know how to pronounce. You're Czech. You should know how to pronounce that. These guys basically are in their defense contractors. They make money with very high-tech defense contracting. And then they do this car business stuff on the side, which I find fascinating. And they do it to a level that is both art, breaking barriers of technology, but also look at some of the timelessness going on here. Like, for example, a carbon fiber arm for the wiper. And then notice, not a screen, it's a gauge cluster.
Yeah, thank God, huh? It's very Pagani-ish, isn't it? It's got a little bit of Pagani to it. And they're here, by the way, as well.
So, Roman, I recently shot Bugatti Tourbillon.
Yeah.
And they call it the Tourbillon because it's basically that, but built by a Swiss watchmaker.
It's a swatch. It's a watch.
And it's made of rubies and sapphires. And talk about timeless. It is the most exquisite thing I've ever seen.
It's not here, though. I haven't seen a Tourbillon here.
Now, the Tourbillon is not here.
Bugatti's here, but the Tourbillon
Their last run of their W16 is here. Huh. The Tourbillon is a V16, and it has three electric motors, no turbochargers, 1,800 horsepower, and the electric motors are made in-house.
You can hear the race car starting up.
So we're about to start the award ceremony. So if you look at the clocks, we're at 2:40. This goes to about 4 o'clock, and you and I have been here since, what, 8:30?
Yeah, probably earlier. I got here at 7.
7? Wow.
Yeah. That was nice. There's nobody here.
Let's go over here.
Okay. Get some ice cream? Is that where we're going?
You want to get some ice cream? Let's get some ice cream.
Oh, come on. Look at this.
So, I think it's a knockoff XJ13.
Look.
So this was a Jaguar, believe it or not. Let's see if it's real.
You think it's a knockoff?
It's not real. I didn't expect it to be real. If it was real, it'd be worth a hell of a lot more.
Yeah.
So this was a super rare kind of project concept car. It turned into a race car for Jaguar. Never really made it.
Hold on, before you blow by this. Look at this.
A Capri, I love these.
A Capri Turbo. This is the Mustang of the UK.
Again, the beauty of Quail is you get these unusual cars set amongst super fancy cars. And should we show them the other beauty of Quail?
Yeah, what's
Come
that?
On over here.
What's the other beauty of Quail? Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
Andy, good to see you.
Nice to see you.
So you guys don't know Andy. This is Andy.
Sorry.
I'm not going to embarrass his father right now. His father is like one of the grand poobahs at Kia. And we met on a drive one time. It turns out his father is big into cigars and problematic Mercedes. Is that a good way to describe your father?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you, Andy.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, buddy.
I'll see
you.
Yeah. All right, so let's go look at this.
This is the other reason why you want to come to Quail. Do you want some ice cream?
No, I want to keep going. Okay. Let's keep going.
Okay, so I want to show you something super cool.
All right, so look.
Check this out. So you know I'm a Porsche guy.
Yeah.
But I'm more about design, tactile feel, color and trim. Look at the color and trim of this. The wood is not just on the dash and the doors, it's on the back of the seats.
Very nautical themed.
Oh,
I'm surprised there's not wood back here.
I'm you and me both. I do like the rear of the Vanquish a bit better than the DB12. And then you have this over here, which is it's basically a spaceship made of carbon fiber. This one has an upgraded carbon fiber in terms of the tub that it's made out of.
Basically a race car.
It is a race car.
Yeah.
I can take my hand off what Aston Martin is doing. It's a tough slog to compete against Germans. And with these cars, still trouble. But the fact that they're doing these one-offs, I think that's the way forward.
So what is this one called? It's not the Valhalla, is it? No. The Valhalla is a little bit different. There's no name on it. It's so one of one that they don't even have a name on it. Is there a name on the back?
Valhalla.
So I said it was the Valhalla.
Yeah.
All right.
Valhalla.
Roman gets one right.
Okay, Roman gets one right.
And I, you know, after I called the Countach de Gallardo, came back strong. All right, let's keep going. Let's see what else there is. You know, this is my first time here, and I am DBX over here, by the way. And I am amazed. I was just a Goodwood, and there are a lot of cars there, but this kind of even out Goodwood. Because, I mean, over here, Bugatti.
I want to show you. Well, we can look at that. It's just a mob scene right now.
I like the dog in the purse. That's a real purse dog.
That's another thing about the Monterey Peninsula for Car Week. You're going to see a lot of that. Dogs in Louis Vuitton bags. So a couple of things to point out here. A lot of unique details in the car.
You like the horse part. I'm not into the horse
part.
But
something Bugatti's have been doing as of late, these Skyview roofs. So they do this as an option. They did it in the Chiron. They're doing it in this kind of one-off, and they're also doing it in the Tourbillon. So the Tourbillon, the doors, the way they open, it'll actually open up the airiness.
So can I give you a little bit of Bugatti trivia?
Sure.
You see this elephant?
Yeah.
Right there?
Yeah.
You know where that comes from?
Tell us.
So Ettore Bugatti had a brother who was a sculptor.
Yes, I'm very familiar with
it. He sculpted that.
Awesome.
So there you go.
Well, actually, comments below, who was the famous artist that was related to Ettore?
Don't know. Who?
No, put it in the comments. We'll put it as trivia.
Put it in the comments. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
So we were talking about the...
Roman will send you his media pass as a gift.
We were talking about...
Oh, come over here. I got to show you a car.
Well, hold on. We got reimagined Lamborghini right here.
Okay, then we'll show you another car.
Oh, yeah. So does this look familiar to you?
Looks very familiar.
Yes.
Tell us what it is.
It's a Lamborghini that's been reimagined. And it's before the Mercy. It was before the Mercy of Diablo. It's a reimagined Diablo.
Yeah, we're talking about the market has already gone up on regular Diablo, so I think this is odd that they're doing this whole Singer thing. But then again, everyone's doing the Singer thing because they saw the great success that they've made with Porsches that are reimagined as a modern day
performance. I have to say, that's very Goodwood.
That's very Goodwood, yes.
Yeah, there you go. All right, what did you want
Speaking
to show
Speaking of Goodwood, let's go over here and check out a car. It's kind of near and dear to me.
Okay, let's go check it out. Are we looking at an old Bentley?
It's an old Bentley.
A blower Bentley?
It's not a blower Bentley. It's a 28 4.5 liter, but it's no longer... Wow, I got to pass that music.
We got to keep away from the music, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, we can't...
It's right there. Yeah,
I can't do that. Those speakers are so loud.
You're going to have to cut that anyway.
Yeah, look, there's the Joby.
Do me a favor. You're going to have to cut the Valhalla, and I screwed up the dates on the Ferrari.
So say the dates. What's the date?
The dates are mid-90s. I said mid-80s.
That's all right. We're all human. We make mistakes.
Oh, you want to hear something near and dear to us?
The Joby?
Do you know who works for this guy?
No, who?
Eric Adams. Eric Adams?
Who's
Eric?
Who's
car writer extraordinary. He was a friend of mine. We're going on all the trips.
Oh.
He now works for this Joby company.
Yeah, well, they're building an electric air taxi, basically a drone. Oh, here come the Jets again. Here
we go. That's a great shot, Romy. Okay. As a pilot,
yeah,
I can officially tell you that was highly illegal what they just did, but I love it.
And let's
the rule of airspace.
Yeah.
You, what they did, you can only do in what's called echo airspace, meaning you have to be at least 500 feet above people, animals, and structures. So they were definitely lower than 500 feet.
So here's the Celestique. You like the design of this thing?
You know what? I like the concept of it, but I don't like the execution that it's a hatchback.
It's kind of a funny looking car, isn't it?
I love the proportions. I would have loved it more if it was some sort of like a 12-cylinder plug-in hybrid.
Oh my God, this music is
hard.
So
timing
loud.
With the music is terrible.
Oh no, it's just terrible. I get it. The Jets are coming, yeah, I get it.
You want to stop?
No, we can keep going. Don't worry, these mics are pretty good. Just keep away from the black speakers. And speaking of singer, there's Gunther. There we go again. I think we picked the very worst time to do this.
Yeah, the bird almost got in the formation. Well, at least they're going to hear some Kenny Loggins. I hope it works.
What do you think of Gunther?
You know what? From an engineering, they're actually not far from me in Huntington Beach.
Yeah.
From an engineering point of view, I think they do a great job. In terms of them against the singer, I like the reinterpretation singer does more than these guys do.
Well, these guys are a little bit more like performance oriented, and singer's more classic.
It's more than that.
Yeah.
Come here, I'm gonna show you.
Oh yeah.
Like, look at the interior of this car. That's not performance oriented. That is high art. The details of the carbon fiber, basically a reinterpretation of a Recaro seat with a carbon fiber literally structure, and then they put these beautiful leather details in it. And then they have a carbon fiber reinterpretation of the dash.
Why do you think they're...
Hello, sir. How are
they
you?
Just let anybody in.
Well, we're working days. Right now.
Yeah.
All right, keep working.
Okay, yeah. Sir.
All right, Nick is waiting to go.
I know.
Okay, so you know. All right, let's keep going. Well, let me ask you this, Moto Man. Why is there this renaissance of these reinterpreted, you know, 911s, Lamborghinis, right? Why is all this happening now? Is it just a lot of tech bro money?
Well, the answer is not really about cars. The answer is a lot of dollars chasing fewer resources.
Yeah.
So you have these cars. People, like, for example, you could buy this, right?
An NSX?
You could buy this for 80 to 100 grand,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Or you could buy, like, a one-off 911 that you decided to create completely on your own.
By the way, this is a new RSX.
What do you think?
I think...
There they go again.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, look at these guys. Wow.
Yeah, I think these mirrors will never make it into production. That's what I think.
No.
But I don't know why designers love those little camera mirrors.
Tell me what you see here.
I see no grill. What am I supposed to see?
The Lotus
Electric
SUV.
Electra. The
Electra. Yeah. Like the old Buick Electra.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I see the Electra. You're right.
So back to what we were saying. It's too many dollars chasing too few resources. Now, granted, I think we're going to start changing that in the system as the economy changes.
And spending money where it's worthwhile.
Excuse me. Most importantly, as economic policy changes. That's really what's going on here.
I also think, you know, we started this by saying one of one. I think people just want the one thing that nobody else can have. I think there's a sense of that right now. So these are the new Myers Manx?
Yeah, so these things, they come in a couple of different flavors. This is the electric model here. They just introduced this like four-seater one over here. And then you probably know Matt. This is Matt's car. He bought this. I watched him place the order last year in this very spot with Jennifer Flake.
Yeah.
No exaggeration. And for those that don't know, Jennifer Flake, very good friend. She ran Ford Comms for many years.
Is she a Manx now?
She was the CEO of Manx, yes.
Okay.
So he bought the car from her, and it was delivered 6 days ago. He trailered it with a Bentley Bentayga up here, and it was at Motorlux. What's up, buddy?
I'm so sorry. I was so distracted.
I was
being a bad friend
We're
at Motorlux.
We're on camera right now.
I know.
Do you want to tell
for
us a little
record,
bit about the car?
For the record, I was at Motorlux, very distracted, and I was a
and
bad
very
friend
rude.
To you. I was rude to you.
You were, but
I
your
would.
Wife was nice to me. Well, she's always
she
nice.
Does that. She yeah. backs me up. I yeah. was in such like a frazzled, distracted
state. So you can make it
there.
Up to me by having a cigar.
Yes.
Later.
I've got, you know what I have? I've got two cigars under that blanket for the rollout for when I drive it out. I've
okay.
got the black pass.
Look
That's
at
the
guy.
I get to drive a car off the lawn.
So I just told him the story that I watched you buy this car in front of Jennifer Flake last
yeah,
year.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
100%
yes,
true.
Yes, it's
and
true.
And then you just got it 6 days
but
ago.
But it's almost true because they tried to swipe my credit card for the 50% deposit here and I said, nah. I said, look, I'm getting the car, but I'll bring you a check. I'll bring you a check. He pulled out the square reader. I was like, dude, I can't even roll like that.
Okay, show us most. I'm going to give you the mic here. Take the mic.
Okay, come on.
Show us the shift knob and tell us why it's important.
I think Hannah should probably do that because it's
Hannah?
Her.
Hannah. Yeah, Hannah. Come here, Hannah. Give her the mic. Give
Hannah,
the mic.
Guess
Hannah,
what?
This is the better half.
You need to sign the release. This is my wife, Hannah. My better half.
This is not
really,
true.
This is really an accessory. Okay. Hannah,
yeah,
tell
feels
George.
Feels very good.
Tell George about the shift knob.
Ah, best part of the whole car, as far as I'm concerned.
And you picked it out.
I didn't pick it out, per se, but we gave them some ideas around what we might want in there. If you could have something just floating, free,
okay.
free floating
the
around.
Okay. Yeah,
so, okay. what happens is, when you, as I'm sure like you know, George, Hannah has a collection,
hot dogs?
Hannah has a collection of hot dog iconography memorabilia in this bathroom. That
speaking
we have
to
in
my
house.
Neck.
Yeah, yeah. And in our in this bathroom, and it's like overflowing with hot dogs.
Matt
stuff.
Won't go in there anymore.
Well, because there's no room for me to poo.
I've seen this. I can.
Yeah, you've been there.
Yeah.
So, but what happens is when people find out that you have a collection of things, they then start getting you more of that thing, and it just spirals out.
Which is great on every
and
level.
So Brenda, who is in charge of styling at Manx, learned about Hannah's hot dog thing, and so we have the bouquet of hot dog shift knobs.
Wait, so she made it unsolicited?
Yeah.
No, that's not true.
That's
we talked
ass.
With her about it, but it was her idea, and the best part about the whole thing was like the prototyping that had to happen, and like sometimes there was air bubbles around the hot dogs, and
yeah.
it was just Brenda in her kitchen at night trying
Thank
new
you.
And different things. It was amazing.
Super cool.
And
so cool.
Yeah, so no, Hannah's right. Like, we did talk about it. It wasn't totally unsolicited, but the final product that was the bouquet of hot dogs
my God.
Was her creation.
That was her
we
vision.
We were expecting
yeah.
like one hot dog in there. But we did get surprises. Like, literally, Hannah wanted heated seats. And I wanted sport bucket seats, and those are not the same thing.
Yeah.
And they literally surprised us by doing the very first heated sport bucket seat for Hannah. So
and
we
so
didn't
are
even
you
ask
gonna
for
get a check for the one they sell now.
Well, that
what I
so
you better get the microphone.
No, so that there's that which no, I won't get a check. We did get them for free, but we did. I'm gonna get a royalty for the Matt Farah dead pedal. Which I had them make because they had the floor high beams, which suck. So I said, dead pedal, trigger high beam is what I want. And now they're offering that as a thing for other people.
So you can afford the cigar.
So I can afford the cigar. I'm going to get
Matt, thank
okay,
you, dude.
Buddy.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
This
appreciate
is
it.
Just,
thank you.
But we didn't need the engine. The
engine.
Oh,
the radio
you guys,
engine.
You guys are talking
that's
about fucking
radio
shift
engine.
Knob. Look,
yeah.
we have an airplane engine and... You know, most people who buy a Manx, they start with a love for, like, Volkswagens or something, right? And this is just an extreme version of that. I approach this from the radial engine backwards. I don't really care that much about Volkswagens to the point where I would buy a Volkswagen-powered Manx. But this is a totally different thing.
This is the AvGeek special.
Yeah, it's crazy. 100%. And so it's a 3-cylinder, 2-liter radial. It's 150 horsepower, 170 torque. It's a billet block and a billet... Australia.
Right.
Radial Motion is the company in Australia, but Manx owns them now. So it has the fins, but it's water-cooled. The radiator is behind here. And it runs Motec. It's got a 4-speed Porsche gearbox and all kinds of good stuff.
Right.
Yeah, kick
Thank
ass.
You,
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
We'll catch you up later.
I'm going to go to the Porsche party tonight. Sam! And fire pits tomorrow.
Okay. I'll be at fire pits.
All right, there you go.
Okay. There you go.
So,
you got it from the horse's mouth.
He said that they wanted to run the credit card, and that's because as cute as they are, they're north of 100,000 if you get the radial engine.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is the most expensive one.
It's, yeah. I mean, once upon a time, you would buy the Manx fiberglass body. You would get a Volkswagen speedless donor car.
Just get away from that speaker.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you would build it yourself. And now, of course, it's become a lifestyle vehicle, which is fine. But yeah, you got to have money.
So that's what I was saying about it's too... a lot of dollars chasing too few resources. And these guys, I think, hit it perfectly, kind of at the tail end of all that money in the financial system. And so they, early on, they sold a lot of cars. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing right now. That's the big question.
Oh,
now, we have a surprise.
Wait, before you go.
Wanted to see this Ring Brothers Aston Martin?
So Ring Brothers, so the Ring Brothers are a company out of Wisconsin where I used to work as a TV reporter. They're known for going to SEMA.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
Where in Wisconsin?
I lived in Janesville. And they're known for building incredibly, kind of like Liberty Walk in Japan, right? So they're known for these incredibly beautiful SEMA builds, but they decided to do a 70s Aston.
This is a huge departure for them.
It is a huge departure, yeah.
They do Buicks and Camaros.
Well, they do Mustangs and, yeah, exactly. And now they've done this, and it is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, look at this. It's you know, it's completely...
It's like Singer-level build.
It's like a Singer-level build, and what I love about it is the temptation would be to put screens, but smell it?
Look at the interpretation of the Aston Martin logo.
Yeah, yeah.
That is... I love that.
Can you smell the leather in there?
I can smell it all the way. No exaggeration. Look at where I'm standing.
Yeah.
I can literally smell the leather.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I can also smell the cigars, too.
I know. You can smell the cigars.
Which is good. Yes.
The two go hand in hand.
I love it. I love it.
So, yeah, just saying hi again. Good to see you again.
Good job, man.
Thanks, Eric.
Cool. Thank you.
Hey, guys.
Russell Dash.
Russell.
How
are you?
Sorry,
we're on
behind the scenes here.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, are we online?
We're online. Russell Dash has many years Volvo. He basically put Volvo on the map. So when they basically reinterpreted Volvo's modern-day XC90 2014?
15.
This is the man that introduced it to the U.S., no exaggeration.
And more importantly...
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that corporate plug.
And, you know...
Check is in the mail.
More importantly, because of him, I got to spend the night in the ice hotel.
Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was my coup de grace. That was it.
He's also a great friend. I'm going to tell you a little story behind the scenes. When I was in the hospital after I got mowed down by a Tesla... We're both from New York. He brought me some pastrami on rye.
And matzo ball soup.
And matzo ball soup.
Can't forget the matzo
ball. He's like my Jewish
No matzo ball. No matzo ball soup, just the matzo balls.
Yeah,
just the matzo ball. All right. What else is there?
What else is there? True that.
Okay.
All right, here we got the Pagani, of course, the Huayra. Huayra. And,
Now, these are different. So these are so rare. Same with the Koenigsegg. They're so rare.
Well, there are like four of them here. There's like eight of them here, dude.
But
how rare can that be?
Because this is the official used car dealership. Like, this is the certified pre-owned Pagani dealership. Oh,
so how much is a pre-owned Huayra?
I don't even know where to start. $3.5 million, $4 million, something like that.
You know, when these blew up, when Top Gear profiled them,
yeah,
nobody knew what Huayra was. I love saying Huayra.
But the beauty of these things, you're buying something so rare, and it could be sold anywhere in the world. It's kind of like a blue chip investment. So we're talking about too many dollars chasing too few resources.
Yeah.
This is like a goal win. There's just enough to satisfy the world demand.
I kind of feel like these guys parked the cars the wrong way. Am I wrong? I'm not wrong, am I?
Well, I mean, if you're Greek, you like it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Greek. Wait a minute.
You are Greek. Yeah. Oh, okay. Wait.
You got some Mustang.
No. Look left. What's your take on this?
Oh, God.
This is the new Jaguar 00 concept.
How are you, sir?
How are you?
Hey,
this is the man behind the scenes Jaguar Land Rover in the U.S.
I know.
Legend in his own time.
Great to see you all.
Yeah.
Yes, good to see you.
Enjoy the Jaguar.
I saw it at Goodwood, dude. I like
you go
it.
Everywhere.
I saw it in Miami.
Did you buy the case?
The master car. You know what? At Goodwood, the guy said the same thing. You're the second person to say that.
You guys are classy guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, so double concept.
Well, we were about to say negative things.
No, I'm not saying negative. I like it.
So here's the thing.
Here, let me show it.
I said on camera when the car came out, I went to the launch in Miami. You got to see it in person to understand
it.
When you see it in person, you understand the proportions. And I want to clarify something here, go down on record. Everybody, like, you look on the internet, everybody's crapping on Jaguar. They only sold like three cars in all of 2025. The whole focus was we were going to stop building cars. Do I think that was the right thing to do? No. I think you should have kept building cars, had something in the interim to sell until you do this.
So, as you know, Jerry McGovern is, you know, head of design for JLR.
Yes.
And he's done the latest Range Rover. He's done the Defender. He's
very talented designer.
Very talented designer. And he did this, I think, to a large extent. And
yes,
I like this. My only complaint, a very simple complaint, is
they
completely, like, cut the heritage off, right? There's, you can't draw a line
from like an E-Type or
I would agree.
To this. There's nothing. There's a chasm between this and their, and that's a shame.
There's a come on over here. There's a couple of things going on here. Number one, I think it's a great interpretation of proportions. There's crazy width, and there's crazy, look at this, dashed axle. So that's how much space between the foot compartment and the rear of the wheels. Now, that's what changes the proportions. The thing, I spoke with Jerry, the chief designer of this car, when he launched it. The one thing he said that is definitely, two things, he said it's coming to production, the wheels, both size and design, as well as the proportions. Now, between us chickens, he was telling me it's really going to be like a five-door. Now, the question is it going to continue to be a full electric car? What do you think?
Jaguar just replaced their long-standing CEO with the CFO from Tata, which is the parent company. And I think as a guy who probably counts pennies and sees which way the wind is blowing, I think they'll do the same thing that Porsche is doing and all the other manufacturers are doing, and that's back off the electric and put some kind of a non-electric engine, like the Charger, right? Same thing. They're gonna put internal
combustion.
Dodge
was smart enough to engineer that program to accept an engine.
You know.
The question is, did they engineer this to accept a gas engine?
Probably not, because they were.
My guess is that's what they're working on now.
Yeah, they were all in on electric, right?
The other huge piece that I would share with you,
yeah,
they're coming to the market too late. By the time that comes to market in 27, which is what they told us it's coming, that car will be competing against a totally new generation of Mercedes electrics, which are going to be fantastic.
Hey, we
now,
got...
Come over here.
Morgan.
One of my favorites. This is a Morgan Plus 4.
Yeah.
Now you're looking at Roman and I saying, that looks like any other Plus 4 that came before it. That is where you are wrong. This is no longer a steel frame and a steel chassis and a wood frame.
It's now all wood.
It's an aluminum tub.
I'm kidding, kidding.
It's literally built like a modern day, like a Corvette.
I like the three-wheeler better.
Nope. We just shot an episode. Tell Roman you want the episode.
Yeah.
Tell Roman you want the episode with Nathan of the three-wheeler. Anyway, this is a whole aluminum tub.
Is you guys going like a date in the three-wheeler?
No, he did a comparison of that with the Polaris, and this was so much better.
I could see you guys going to a...
We had a great time.
A nice drive-in diner.
We did go to a concert together. True story. Totally went to a concert.
Nathan wants the cheeseburger.
And our
want the onion rings.
Us. His wife and my girlfriend ditched us.
All right, hey.
So this is now, it's an aluminum tub that has a BMW engine.
We got to get away from these speakers. This is my favorite car here. It's an off-road 911.
Oh, I'm going to show you your favorite car.
If you want to know more about this, head on over to AllTFL. I did a complete video on it. And we're heading toward Corvette.
Oh, can I show you something cool?
Of course. This electric
Lincoln Futura.
Going.
Oh, forget that. The Lincoln Futura. One of our neighbors down at the airport.
Yeah?
So this car comes to the airport all the time.
It's like the Batmobile.
Because it was the Batmobile.
Yeah.
This is the car that George Barris took and made into the Batmobile.
Yeah.
This is the Lincoln Futura concept. So come over here. Now, this one's been reinterpreted a little bit. It's got a totally different, updated interior, but you can still see the Lincoln gauges over there.
Cool. That's way cool. Look at the size of this. Is it a trunk? Yeah. What's under there? Look at these exhaust holes. Oh, my God.
Supposedly, that was where the jet engine for the Batmobile went.
Okay,
but you can see the Adam West Batmobile here.
All right.
Now, come on over here. We have a surprise for you guys.
GTR Skyline over there.
Which, by the way, are bona fide collectible cars. Let's go this way.
Yeah, we got to go to the Corvette. Oh, here's the speaker. It's going to get loud again. All right, let's walk by this. All right, let's go look at the Corvette stand.
Okay. So 2 weeks, anybody that follows my show knows I go to the Cars in My Yard party in Detroit every year. And I have a very good friend who is the chief designer of Chevrolet. His name is Phil Zack, and he was there, and he's like, "Are you going to Quail?" And I said, "Yes." He says, "I'm bringing something special." Not this.
No.
However, this is special. This is the 1959 Stingray concept. This was designed by none other than Peter Brock, the same guy that raced those Datsuns we saw earlier. So basically, he's the one that brought out the concept of what became the C2. Well, come on over here and let me show you something. excuse me, look at the interpretation of that design in now a concept car that will become, I'm not going to say a C9. Come here, let me show you something else. Oh.
What's up?
We're getting each other's shots.
Oh.
Forrest, come here, Forrest. We're live.
Are you live?
Yeah, we're live.
What's up? We're not live. We're just recording. But
what's up,
nice to see you, man.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah. This is the one and only Forrest Jones. I thought you, hey, first of all, congratulations.
On my new kid?
Number three.
Number three's on the way.
Hey. Yeah.
I'm glad you know that. Thank you.
Forrest,
love you, man.
Forrest, yeah. Love the glasses.
Oh, the meta glasses? They're dead, so they don't do anything.
Oh,
it lasts like 5 hours.
They don't last that long, do they?
Yeah, the video is awful. Yeah. The pictures are okay. And the battery life is super short. So,
hold on.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You say it again.
The battery, life is short. The video is awful. It's 720p and cropped in. Yeah. But the pictures are great.
Yeah.
So I really just use it for the pictures, but I don't think it's worth the investment.
You know, I use it for listening to podcasts.
Yeah. That's so funny.
All right, I'll let you go back to your work.
Sorry, okay. Get to work. I remember when this guy, he was like this. He was just like, he was 12 years old. Now he's grown up. He's a parent.
I was the same size. He has not known
okay, so he was in Texas back then.
I've known him since he was like this tall.
Before the hair, I think.
But you knew him before the kids. Now he's an old
before
man.
Before the kids, yeah, before I had long hair.
Hey, me and him go way back. We went to Japan together with his lovely wife, by the way. Yeah.
That Japan trip was awesome.
Exactly.
We went this ride. We went to the underground car meet and it got like shut down.
Yeah, that was so cool.
So cool.
So cool, yeah.
We were there for like a whole 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was like being in a Fast and Furious movie.
And Lexus took us there out of all people. And
I know.
They are the one too, like, we're like, let's go.
Yeah.
It wasn't even us.
And it was Roman that ruined it for everybody, right?
It was. He was like being super obvious and the cops were like, no.
You know how they get rid of people in Japan? They just turn the sirens on and just keep them on, right?
Yeah, they kept them on for like 45 minutes. Yeah. Just,
you guys are lucky the Yakuza didn't come and deal with your asses.
The Yakuza? Oh, isn't that like Japanese mafia?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, we just showed our age there.
All right.
Okay, get back to work for us.
All right, bye.
So look at this. What I was showing you was, it's not a C9. This is an interpretation of what could be the C10. And CX, get it?
Yeah, I get
so
it.
So take a look at the daylight opening. What they've done here is they've made it like, remember the Aerovet back in the day, the 73
sure.
Aerovet? Yeah. That's what they've interpreted.
But this one
here.
Is all electric.
This one is all electric. It's got a clamshell that opens up here and you climb into it. And the pedals and the steering wheel go forward and backward to let you in and out of the car. That car is not electric. That car is a plug-in hybrid race car that has three electric motors. And get this, a 2-liter V8, 16,000 RPM. And then check this out. So what they've done with the diffuser, look at how far the diffuser goes down there. So this is something they've stolen from the $4.6 million Bugatti Tourbillon, where they put the diffuser in here for downforce. So on the street car, it doesn't need the wing in order to create a higher top speed.
So two cool things. You said 2-liter V8, right?
Two liter V8,
the piston's got to be like that big.
Yeah.
And I like this no step.
Yeah, that's your favorite thing.
Yeah, let's show them the one.
And
you
then
can,
come on over here.
Let's show them the one you
I
can
just
actually.
I want you to meet. Come here. Hold on a second. This is the coolest car guy in the world. This is Carmen.
Hi, Carmen.
Tell him the kind of car you drive.
I drive a BMW 335i.
Yeah, but you've done some stuff
I
to
in
it.
A video
you're
right
you're
now?
In a video right
I'm
now.
In
yeah,
a
Carmen.
Video.
Yeah.
I drive a nearly 600 horsepower BMW 335i. It's upgraded twin turbo. It's got to be on full ethanol, port injection, basically everything else full bolt on.
Now, why is Carmen so cool? She is cool because what did your dad do for a living?
He flew planes.
He flew 747s.
All right, George.
He was a Hilo pilot.
Nice meeting. I got to get him on track again.
In Vietnam.
Yeah, I got to get him on track.
He's not fun. Okay, yeah. We'll talk later. Come on.
Yes, thank you. Bye.
Okay, come here.
Yeah.
Okay, Roman doesn't like that. I was trying to give you guys
I'm trying to
backstory.
Keep you not being pervy, dude. That's what I'm trying to do.
Okay, here we go. This is the racing. Okay, let me get a step back for a minute. This, you see this here?
Yeah.
It looks like carbon
fiber. By the way, I love your watch.
What's that?
Love the watch.
Oh, thank you. This is carbon fiber, but the whole concept of the racing, this isn't some like pie in the sky like design deal. What they've done here is they've tested this with their racing team in North Carolina. So it's not just something that is, oh my God, this is what we could make the car look like. This is all based on what kind of top speeds they can hit, and this actual arm here can create some downforce.
Let's show them a car that you can actually buy. Well, you can't, but supposedly you could. So this is
This is the ZR1X, Quail Silver Limited Edition over here.
That's the Quail Edition.
That's the Quail Edition, yeah. Yeah. So, $217,000, they announced the price, and it just set the American production car Nuremberg record.
So, question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think that's too much money?
No, no. Compared to a GTD, which is going to be twice that, that's not too much.
Well, GTD sticker-wise is not going to be twice that.
It's like, they're like 350. So 150 well, more. And it's a little slower, at least around the Nürburgring, until they do it. What do you think of this? It's a one-off-one Rivian.
Why would you want a one-off-one electric car?
They sold it for $175.
I don't think that's a good investment.
No, probably not.
No.
But, you know, it went to a charity.
Yeah. So something important here, back to that ZR1X.
Yeah.
Spent some time talking with Phil, and I asked him, I said, are you guys going to limit these cars? Are you going to make a numbered edition here? And he's like, actually, technically, they're not limited edition, but they are supply constrained. So basically, you know how cumbersome it is to build the engines in those cars?
Yeah.
So instead of being able to say, we're going to make 500, they're limited by how many of the engines they can build by hand in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Okay.
Of sports and racing automobiles.
And then here's your Lamborghinis.
Yeah, we were talking about the Countaches. So I drove a Countach. Have you driven a Countach?
Yes.
You can't see out of it.
Yeah, you can't fit in it. I can't fit in it.
You can't back it up. You can't. Now the Quail continues. You can't do much with it.
Yeah, but I still love it.
Judging process by which
the I'm gonna another hot take, okay?
Hot take. Here we go.
So this is the prototypical Lamborghini, right? This is what established the DNA of the brand.
No, that was the Miura.
Yeah, the Miura was a little bit less over the top, right? This was like over the top, supercar, prime. But at the time, they were a little douchey, which is a word for my generation.
All right, we will but now like welcome if, the William
if you were,
class across the stage,
if you were like you know really into wearing gold chains and turned up collars, this would be the car you would have bought back in the day.
See, this is where I disagree with you.
All right, fair.
Because I think there are two. There's a tale of two Countaches.
Okay, tell me.
There's this one, the 80s, which people associate with Miami Vice,
yeah.
Which you just described.
Yeah.
So you're not wrong.
Right.
However, there is also what's called
the Miami Vice had a Ferrari.
No, people think of my Miami Vice, they think a car like
Don
this.
Don Johnson?
It's the same. Yeah. He had a Ferrari, but the idea was this is the contemporary of the Ferrari. But there was also Adam. Hello, Adam. Hello, Adam.
He's busy filming.
So thank you again.
Yeah. he was the marketing director with Peterson for many, many years.
Oh, cool.
Anyway, so the Periscopo was a totally different car. Periscopo didn't have any of this bodywork. No wing,
so
and it had like almost a tunnel
like
in the roof where instead of you having a rear view mirror, you look through a periscope to see the back of the car. That car looks very different than this, even
welcome
though the body's the same.
Now, the
and that one, I think, is a 70s icon. That's the one I think is timeless.
Yeah, I agree. But so they've got different Lamborghinis here, right? But they're all kind of the same gen, right? Except that one, which doesn't have the wing.
Gathering. Look at how much more mature this looks in that color. How different it looks.
Original mechanical
all right, well, let's wrap this up, dude. We've been going almost an hour.
You want to wrap up on NSXT and Aston Martin?
We start with Aston. Wouldn't it be fitting to finish with Aston?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially like the muscle car Aston Martin.
Yeah.
The James Bond Aston Martin. Or late James Bond.
Late James
I should
Bond,
say.
Yeah. This isn't
V8
early
Vantage,
James Bond.
Timothy Dalton, Matt Aston Martin. Actually, we should leave them with a question. What's your favorite James Bond car? Doesn't have to be an Aston Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a 7 Series BMW. I'm kidding.
Oh, wait a minute. We end on that.
Oh.
We got to show him a Tipo 33.
Ooh. I don't know anything about the Tipo 33.
Oh, my God. Look at this. The interior of this car is worth the extra time, Roman.
So Alfa Romeo does have a stand here, which is cool.
Oh, they have a standing with this car. This is one of these kind of like one-offs. They're made, you know, don't quote me on this. I think they're making 30 of them.
Yeah.
It's like $2.7 million.
Oh, my God.
It's effectively a Maserati. It's an MC20 with a stunning body.
Well, first
more
of all, it's got this beautiful... what's the Ferrari red? It's Rosso Corsa, right? That's the Ferrari red. Rosso Corsa.
Uh-huh.
But what's the
red. I don't know what the alpha color is, but that is the same red you saw on the 8C, which was also a special car back in the day. And you know what? Here's a top tip. In the collector car market, believe it or not, you lost money if you bought one of those cars new.
I heard the 8C. I heard the 8C doesn't drive well.
But
I heard it looks great.
That's garbage. Yeah. It doesn't drive as well as the modern day Ferrari or the contemporary Ferrari.
Yeah.
But when you consider that it's more rare than the contemporary Ferrari, that's the car.
All right,
let me ask
you this. Before you show me the interior,
yes.
What color does that remind you of? A Miata color.
Oh, crystal, Soul Red Crystal.
Crystal Soul, Crystal Soul Metallic,
and save yourself $2.65 million.
The interior is gorgeous.
But look at the details. Number one, look at how this is exactly out of the original Tipo, but then everything, they have a screen, yes, there, and they have a screen, yes, there, but look, they still render the gauges almost mechanically on each side of the IP, and then there's toggle switches on the top over the driver like an airplane.
Or like a Raptor?
Or a Bugatti Tourbillon, which this is half the price.
Yeah. Or an Ineos Grenadier.
Yeah, very cool. You had one.
I had one, yeah.
Did you lose money on that?
You know, we probably lost. I think we paid like 82 for it, and we ended up selling it for like 75.
That's not bad.
So, but we only had it for 2 months.
We made all that sweet internet money. Honestly.
We made all that sweet internet money. That's right. Yeah, all that sweet YouTube money.
It's got the same effective power plant as the Maserati.
What is it with Alfa Romeo? How can they build this, and then the same company comes out, you know, and does their crossovers?
You know, I've got an answer that's not fact. It's just my interpretation.
Yeah.
I think this is the vision of one person, and the Alfa Romeo is a vision of many different people in many different boardrooms in many different countries.
Yeah.
That is the problem with Stellantis. They have too many brands going too many different directions.
I mean, the Tonale, you know what I mean?
Terrible.
I didn't say the other word that a lot of Americans are thinking, right? They didn't, like, do any research, like, hey...
Yeah.
You know, that might sound a little bit like something else that's on your foot.
Isn't it a weird name? It's a very strange name.
And the Stelvio is okay, right?
What does Revuelto mean?
Isn't it a bull? Fighting bull, right? Every Lamborghini
is a fighting bull. That means agitated. But what they didn't realize, it also means scrambled eggs in Spanish.
Oh. And Tonale and... what was the other one? Can't think of it now. Stelvio, right? Those are named after Italian mountain passes.
Mountain passes, yes.
So
it's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate.
And it's unfortunate because it's a great brand, and I'd love someone to be a better steward of it. But here's a big question for you.
Yes.
Even, let's say for the sake of discussion, tomorrow Toyota bought it. Not that they would. But let's say they did, and they threw their resources at it. Do you think there's enough of a market outside of BMW, Mercedes, and Audi that people would consider a good Alfa?
You know, Mark Chioni, you know, the old CEO of Stellantis, he said there were three brands that were crucial to the company. It was Jeep. It was, what was the other one? Alfa Romeo was one of them. And I think it was Ram. I think those were the three brands. So, yeah, Alfa Romeo is worldwide. It's well-known.
Yeah.
Formula One. But they just can't seem to get, like, their mojo back from pre-war.
It's because they have too many things going on. It's kind of like, do you remember...
Maybe that's why Ferrari left Alfa Romeo, right?
No, that was to float the company and make money. Yeah. That was a money grab.
All right. Now, and he did well.
Do you remember Alan Mulally back in the day at Ford?
Yeah, I remember
He came in, and we shouldn't go that close over there. Let's turn around.
Yeah.
He came in and famously said, we're selling all these brands.
What do you think of this?
I love this. This is a visceral experience. So he came
Ferrari was the third brand. It was Ram. It was Alfa Romeo, Ferrari, and Jeep were the three iconic brands that at that time SCA owned.
So Marchionne came in. He was focusing on things, but then Alan Mulally at Ford, not a decade prior, he came in when the company still had the Premier Automotive Group, and they were selling Lincolns and Aston Martins and Land Rovers. And he said, you know what? We're getting rid of all the extraneous brands. We're only focusing on two, Lincoln and Ford. And people looked at him like, are you crazy? Turns out it was the smartest thing he could have done because he focused.
Yeah,
that's life advice. Just focus.
The other thing he did, which was smart, was said one Ford, one world, one car, you know? So he built the same car for Europe, the Focus, the Fiesta, and got rid of kind of clumsy, like the Taurus, right?
Yeah.
These cars that were just old school American that didn't resonate anymore.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, we're kind of back to that now in some ways. at Ford.
Especially companies like BMW, they slice the pie so thin.
So much, so much.
But now they're starting to roll it back where like, you don't need a 2 Series Grand Coupe.
Yeah, exactly. It's too much.
So basically, we thought we'd start talking about cars, but really this is life advice from two old men.
True that. All
right,
guys.
Older man right here.
Old man. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you, Motoman, for joining us.
Thank you, sir, for having me.
And where should people go if they want to see more of you?
We're Motoman TV on all the socials.
On all the socials. And we'll see you next time. Ciao.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.